Age of Vision radio show with your host, Lonnie Clark. We stand together and accept that we now live in a world transformed by Fukushima. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 8 a.m. to 9 a.m. Pacific Standard Time here on UCY.TV radio. We relentlessly engage every ear that listens. We expose and confront the complete lack of accountability for the nuclear industry. Consider social engineering programs who view our bodies, minds, and souls as assets on a balance sheet. We discuss vital current issues, interview activists, and engage our audience in an effort to allow all voices to be heard. The Age of Vision radio show creates a venue that all will choose. We encourage our listeners to reclaim their power and their courage to take action and save our planet from the ravages of greed and indifference. Our actions matter. Every voice matters. We remind our listeners that happiness is resistance. Love is greater than fear.
Good morning, UCY.TV radio listeners. This is Lonnie Clark with the Age of Vision radio show. Thank you for joining us. Today is Monday, June 27th, and I can barely believe we're more than halfway through the year, 2016. And on Mondays, we interview activists and people from St. Louis. As you know, last Monday, we had a little bit of a glitch with our electronics, so we could not connect to the radio station. And so that issue, the producer got all that stuff fixed. We're going to complete our interview with Mr. Ron Freund, F-R-U-E-N-D, and I called him Rob before. And Ron, please let me apologize to you for that oversight. So I want to introduce Ron. He has been living in St. Louis all of his life and has been an active community member. And I think the last time he was on the air, we sort of brushed over that. But I'd like him to explain a little bit more about his history so you can understand the depth of his knowledge to this issue. So welcome to the radio show, Ron.
Oh, hello.
Hi.
It's a sunny, hot day here in St. Louis today. Typical St. Louis weather. You asked me to explain about myself. And I think I really fit into this scenario very, very well. Number one, I've lived here all my life. I lived in North County. I developed property in North County.
Wow.
My first wife died when she was 33. She lives off of Fontaine Creek. At this site in 1970s, I remember walking this site because I was vice president of the Chamber of Commerce of Hazelwood and the southern part of Bridgeton and Overland and those things. And I was vice president. I walked this site, exactly the same site. There was buildings there. My nephew called me. He's with the Regional Health Authority. And he says, what's the problem up there? I said, it's Coldwater Creek. It's the only thing that runs through the county. That runs through that area. And he said they're having a number of people, still more people reporting, more people complaining, and he has all the clinics throughout the whole city. And as I look at that, and another thing, I ran four governor's campaigns, Republican campaigns, for four governors for the metropolitan area. I really understand the political end of this thing. And the thing that I think that people, and one of the things that's always disturbed me here in St. Louis, we used to have the Globe Democrat that was a Democratic paper. Now all we get is the Post-Dispatch. Okay? They ran an article last week, I think, that there's no problem There's no problem. But there's a fellow in that paper, here's how they're intelligent, a fellow standing there in front of a railroad car that they're shipping out west. Well, what are they remunerating this piece of property with a company that's out of Chicago? That's not surprising. That they're remunerating this property. They're standing there. They report this. Well, before this, I called the guy. I said, now look it. Have you did anything and checked this out? Have you talked to anybody other than what the government said? He says, why no? I said, well, what kind of paper is this? This is the part of media and everything, is to say what's going on. It's like I listen to CNN and somebody calls me and says, well, they said that Clinton was through these things and the FBI, which they, I know they don't, okay, for a number of reasons, and that they're in an investigation. They said there's nothing wrong. Well, you know what? They hadn't even started the testimony on Hillary Clinton. So why are they reporting that? Why do they put that on national news? Why do some of these things happen? And if they do happen, that's what freedom of the press is about. I've been to Russia. I've been to Bulgarian countries for over a month. And that's what they look out for. Well, we're going to control this. We're going to control that. This media that we're talking about, the internet, China, don't let people use it because you can say what's wrong. We're lucky we can say what's wrong. But when you put stuff on the air that you don't check out, people think it's fact because yes. You do that. You say there's no problem in the paper. It's fact.
That's
now,
right.
At this meeting, I had the pleasure, okay, of a friend of mine that took me up there because I can't drive because I had a large heart operation in December, and I'm still not driving. I had him take me up there, and I listened to the whole thing. And I guess nobody was afraid to talk, okay? And I said, so I was the first person. I said, you know, I really had no business up here. But I'm from here. I know what's going on. And they say they're going to do, it's been 70 years. They want to do 5 more years of study. What?
Right.
At some part, that's unacceptable. And most of these people, and it went on for 3.5 hours. Okay. So I talked to the guy, and the guy from the court comes over and starts talking to me. And I says, let me introduce the fellow that drove me up here. He's a PhD from Georgia, not the state, the country. A Rhodes Scholar, nuclear physicist. Some of the things he said they're saying, well, they're either half-truths, are they skipping things, or they're not telling exactly what it is.
Oh, wow, really? So even the...
Okay. Now, let me just tell you, let me finish this. I had him write a letter to all these government agencies. He's here because he was splitting helium down at Rolla. He's here because his wife is sick. I mean, really sick. He's overstayed his visa. He could come over here because he's published books. I mean, he's published books on this subject. So we wrote a letter that he would be willing to help him, okay? 5 letters. No replies. No replies. Then he goes, sees this movie called The First Secure City. I had to get up and walk out because...
Are you talking about C.D. Stelzer's movie, The First Secret City?
Yes.
Okay,
he saw that. And I had to get up and walk out because my wife died. I built some houses 2 blocks off of Pond Street, 52. I built some houses on one of the courts up there, Granbury Court at Beckett. I've walked this creek. And I sold some commercial property. Oh, I built a mortuary right there. I sort of ran right there. So I said, okay, I got to get out of here for a minute. So I walked outside. He comes up. They're not going to hire me. I said, what do you mean? Oh, they know what they did. He heard in that film, that person from Washington University said they know what they did, and they know exactly what they did. And I said, you know what? They're never going to call me. Well, they haven't called. They haven't written them back. I'm telling you, that and that's what I called the post office. I said, have you ever checked with anybody ever than what the government tells you? I know. I have in my hands, and you can go on the internet, there's a letter from the state of Missouri in 2012 that there's no problem. Now, this guy goes up there, takes all these zip codes, and he puts one where there's no cancer, he adds them where they were. Well, if I got 100% and I had another zip code where there's none, I got 50. Well, he dilutes it by places by putting more zip codes in there. There's no problem. The Post-Dispatch reports that. Okay, in 2014, I have a letter here from the state asking for emergency funds to take care of this. Well, it's a state lying that they're asking for emergency funds. Are they lying when they tell you there's no problem? Are they lying when they ask you we need emergency funds? At some point, somebody needs to get organized. And I went on this website to take a look. I know how to put on a campaign. You need to get the people in Coldwater Creek. You need to get the people in Bridgeton. You need to get the people in Weldon Springs, where I just sold my house, to get together, because they have the same problem. Mm-hmm. They have nuclear waste. They have people that are government officials are lying to them. They have papers that are telling you not the truth. And the papers are publishing what the government said. Okay, I saw a demonstration, okay, down here, the people from Bridgeton. Well, they had signs. You couldn't read them. Well, the political things, the signs are pre-done so you could read them because you're on the air. And if you get organized and you raise some funds and you do something, hey, it's election year this year. You've got congressmen that are getting elected. One of them I called. He was a little bit interested. The next day I called, he put me up. Said, well, we're waiting for some more government studies. Well, huh? I mean, it's almost outrageous that somebody after 70 years is still studying, still has five or seven organizations. I don't know what it was. And so after this meeting I had, I go up to the fellow, and he came over to me because he knew I was not happy, and he starts this conversation. He says, well, you wouldn't believe that our biggest problem, we have no information. Oh, I would, because I've dealt with the state on different things. In fact, I had a site in O'Fallon that there was dumps on there, something on there for over $1 million they did, and somebody drew a circle and said, well, this is the landfill. It's closed for over 30 years already. But here's the landfill. Who would accept that? Draw a circle. Here's where the dump's at, when there was $1 million. Well, you know, it's either two things or three things. It's stupidity, number one. Corruption, because somebody got paid or got taken care of. And I think it's all of the above.
Yeah.
I think it's all of the above that, you know, somebody. And how can somebody have a job? Would the state of Missouri, that's probably making well over $100,000, report that there's no problem, and 2 years later reports there is a problem, and he's still getting paid?
Right. Well, you know,
I mean, if it was any place else, you would fire the person.
Yeah. Well, I mean, this is the empirical evidence, Ron. If you're working for the EPA or the Nuclear Regulatory Commission, the Department of Energy, you are required to lie to the general public about the harm being perpetrated by corporations to their health. That's kind of the bottom line. You're required to lie. I mean, they know they're lying. They know exactly. It's evident. That scientist that drove you there basically said they know exactly what they're doing. And look at all the thousands of signatures that your state has delivered to the governor, and crickets. We have legislation sitting. Honestly, it is really beyond contempt in my view. This is why I am relentlessly covering St. Louis every single Monday, because if people in America think that they're not going to do to the rest of the country what they're doing to St. Louis, they're sadly mistaken. Unless we change up, this is, I know that, you know, I'm really seriously, my daughter has convinced me not to give up on Bernie Sanders, and I really believe that he might pull it off, and we might be able to have a Lincoln presidency and change the tenor and tone of our country right now, because he's the only candidate willing to have an honest conversation about the nuclear contamination around our country. The only candidate. And for me, that's an that's like one of the primary drivers in this, ought to be. We have a major city being contaminated. Let me ask you a question, Ron. You said you built some properties around the airport, and you sold them. You purchased them. Like at the time you built them, you had absolutely no idea that this waste was there.
No.
Wow.
In fact, well, let me tell you what. That's one question that I, my son, I'm getting way better than I was. Thank goodness, I guess.
Yeah. Well, there's always room for growth.
Why are you doing this, Dad? Why are you doing this? I looked up and said, what? Because I was working with Georgie, looking at some things. And he says, why are you doing this? I says, because of, I think your mother died because of this, number one. Number two is that I built houses there, 52 units, one places, did something at the mortuary now. Five on Brimble Court. And I asked Georgie, because I was starting to feel guilty. I said, and I was looking at these maps.
Yeah.
And I complained about the maps. I says, should I have known or should I feel guilty? He said, well, no, if nobody told you. Nobody told you. How are you supposed to know?
Right.
Okay. So and I did, I went that way. So as I asked and looked at what goes on, I think I can help people organize. In fact, I know I can, because I've done it reportedly. There's an article in the Post-Dispatch on a small election. I got 93% of the votes, and they wanted to know who got it. Well, I did the campaign. I understand how to get the vote out. I understand it, and I think four governors wouldn't have asked that I help them.
Well, let me ask you this. You've dealt with these governors now. Interestingly enough, do you believe that any of the governors besides the current governor, Jay Nixon, do you think any of them actually knew what a catastrophe this was?
No.
This was never even a conversation. No one even talked about it.
No way.
It wasn't even an issue up until this thing caught on fire.
Wait. Well, here's what happened. The federal government, and I maybe even the state, okay, they were telling them everything was all right. I hope they were. I hope I wasn't trying, because three of them won and one of them didn't, that I was putting in people that knew there was a problem and didn't care. I hope not.
Yeah.
Because I spent a lot of time.
Yeah.
And a lot of effort, and I didn't know.
Right.
And I should have known. Look, I walked this site. I lived up there. My wife died. I built 52 units in Hazelwood. I built five on Brimberry Court. The mortuary there I built. And actually, at one time, I owned where the Deerbrook store is at. And I sold it. It's on the creek. Now, if I'd have known that at the time, and they never said anything, I would be a fool to my family. My wife, that when she died at 33,
wow,
and all this stuff, I'd be a fool.
Yeah.
I'd be a fool to try to get these people in office. Anybody that sits here and don't understand, but here's what somebody has to understand. When you stand out there with signs, you have to know what them signs are going to say, because they're going to be on TV and they have to be readable. When you go to a thing like the thing, I didn't want to stand up and be the first person, but everybody wasn't organized. Everybody didn't know what to say. And it was a good meeting, but it went on because nobody was going to say anything.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're not organized and know what to say before you get there with a group of people, you don't have the signs printed. You know, you need to have stuff like bumper stickers and signs and t-shirts that say, hey, we got a problem here. And, you know, and some of this, the movie, and I've been trying to get it shown, especially here in St. Charles, because half the people in St. Charles are from North County. And in North County, But most of the people in North County aren't in North County anymore. You know, they're all over the United States. One of my sons is in California. He just came in here to see his grandmother.
Right.
They happened to be 98 years old. But nobody knew this stuff. And if we did, if you knew this was the case, and you knew that was a thing, and you didn't do anything, I think, in my opinion, it's almost criminal. Because people are, you know, what's the difference? Oh, a friend of mine died. He lived next to me. He worked at Mallinckrodt. He talked about taking showers when he worked there. And he ended up dying of cancer, and the government did give him some money. But I called all of his five kids that are friends of mine too and said, you know what, your dad deserves a flag just like anybody that died in Normandy are fighting the Japanese. Because he died
right for
that without being told and been ruined. My son, which is just turning 50, one of his friends can't work. You know where he worked? Weldon Springs.
Wow.
He worked at Weldon Springs. I said, well, you think that's the problem? Well, I called the lady from here that somebody gave me. I started telling her, well, she was with Mallinckrodt, her dad, so they put her in charge. Well, that's almost like buying somebody off.
Yeah.
Okay. So I start telling her the problem, and she tells me exactly how many people worked there. 400, I think 30-some people, okay, worked at that site. Well, wouldn't you, if you had the guy and you knew he was there, you were supposed to remunerate the person and he could get sick, you would tell the person? You think the government did? No.
You know what I can't get over?
Things.
Ron, this is the thing. These are all people, human beings, working at these agencies. It really requires that they forego their humanity for a paycheck. Is essentially what they're being asked to do. People there, after a while, they must know that it's, you know, the people at, like at the EPA that I'm talking about, or the NRC, or the Department of Energy, like, and even in the governor's office, like Governor Jay Nixon. Governor Jay Nixon, for me, in my view, is held at a higher level of culpability because it is a known catastrophic event. That recent article that came out from the EPA that's been published said that the EPA calls it a principal threat to the community. Principal threat means it is a catastrophic danger to the entire community. And yet they continue to ignore the human cost. I don't know how it makes you people feel that all of you in St. Louis, I'm very far away from it. But for me, it makes me so outraged. I do not understand. Now, do you think that most people in St. Louis understand that there's a very serious threat to their community? Is that why it's being ignored? You know, and there's a handful of activists, but, you know, most people are going about their business in St. Louis.
Well, here's what part of the problem is. A problem's never a problem until it happens to you.
Yeah.
And that's human nature, okay? There's enough problems going on. People got to make a check, pay for this, vote somebody in, watch what's running for government, okay? And I don't want to get into that because it's a long story. But you have to see what you're going to take, okay? A lot of the people, I don't think, because of their education, I don't think they can even read or know. I mean, so I told you there was nuclear waste. Well, they're not affecting me. Well, what's that? Well, you know, and I read the paper, and I see this fellow. The paper reports there's no problem. Here's a fellow standing in front of a car that they're shipping, that they're remunerating, and they're like, oh, well, it's an outright lie.
Wow.
It's an outright lie. Why would somebody print something like that? I called them up and said, why are you reporting without getting outside information what they tell you? You know, and people are still dying. They know that. They know that. They're still having more reports. They know that. The numbers they know and what they do and what there is, they do. Now, one of the fellows from at this deal where I said all this stuff, the guy from the Corps walks over and he talks to me. And he says, well, we don't know, okay? And I said, well, I believe that. I can see that, okay? And then the records could be bad. And I told you that earlier, what it could be with the state. And I'm sure it's with the federal government. It worries me that the remunerations get placed by somebody out of Chicago and probably nobody's watching them, okay? But he brings up something to me. I says, now, I want to look at I looked at this very hard for a long period of time. And I looked at the creek, and it goes there. And most things go downhill that are polluted.
Right.
I mean,
that's right.
Sewage goes downhill. Water goes downhill.
Right.
One of the first places they're remunerating is where I told my nephew. It cuts into the bank. It's on Palm Street. It levels out. It sinks. I said, well, that's kind of interesting that you're here. So I said, I tell this guy, have you ever checked out the storm sewers? And he looks at me. He says, well, what do you mean? I said, there are the only thing that connects to the creek. That, you know, it backs up in there, Missouri mm-hmm. River floods, it can't empty. It goes in there. I asked Georgie, the scientist, I said, Georgie, can that water go in there and that stuff settles? He said, absolutely. And then it doesn't get washed out. I said, well, you know, I asked that guy. So I said, he says, why would you say storm sewers? Well, sanitary sewers don't collect to the creek. Phone lines don't collect to the creek. The air don't. Well, why is there this pattern? And if you got to, I don't care what you look at, you have to see a pattern to something to go forward. Well, it's the only thing that connects, okay? I asked them, could I see, because I saw that where they know on in their presentation where this ground developed. I said, can I see how this sewers went in and where the armware sewers went in? You know what? I never got a call back. Neither did this fellow get a call back that offered to help him. And I'm sure they do not have a PhD Rhodes Scholar physicist that was on the commission in Germany is helping. Mm-hmm. You don't even get a call. He said, I will help you. You know, he don't get a call. He said, maybe I'd like to help you. But he don't even get a call. I mean, it's almost obscene. If you read this letter, he says, I'll help you. I've been here. Here's my qualifications. He's written books, and he don't get a call. Well, yeah, that's what he said. They know what they did when he left that movie.
Yes.
That film. They know what they did. I'm not going to get a call, and I'm not going to hear from my letter. They know.
He knew as soon as he saw that movie that he was never going to be contacted. You mean?
Well, sure. He walked out. So they're not going to call me. They know what they did.
Wow.
He listened to that scientist in there. He said, well, no, they did it. And one of the comments he made when we left, okay, was kind of outstanding. And this guy is a real good friend of mine, okay? Now, he says to me, you know, that amount of pollution they had in the Mallinckrodt that they dumped might have been and probably is the largest pollution anybody would let accumulate in the world.
Wow.
He said, I can't imagine when they said how many tons they had. I was earthshook.
Wow.
He said, I heard it. He said, you know, I sit there. He says, what? He said, I said, he says, that's unbelievable. And it's unbelievable if they knew what they were doing. And I said, do you know what they're doing? He said, well, maybe not. And another thing I asked myself, well, here we got the records, which you can look at. I said, they took that from that dump. They added it, I mean, from I call it, not the dump, but over by the airport. They added it to dirt, and they put it in a landfill. I asked him, will that cut it enough? He looked up and said, who knows? Who knows when they did that? How would you know today? And one of the things he says is that he was over in Georgia, and I don't know if you know where that's at.
Yes.
It's off the Caspian Sea. Well, when Chernobyl blew up, he said they started seeing plants and other stuff that far away that was having problems with the genetics of what it was. Mm-hmm. We're talking about plants. Now, if it does plants, you think it does that to humans?
It does. Actually, Ireland still has problems, and so does Denmark from the Chernobyl. And this is the thing that most people – I've read Dr. John Goffman's books, which is being ignored by the nuclear industry. I encourage everyone to read and get a hold of Dr. John Goffman and Dr. Arthur Tamplin's book. Linus Pauling also won a Nobel Peace Prize for his work on the harm that nuclear does to babies in utero. But that information, ever since it was discovered in the late 70s, early 70s, their conclusion, they did definitive extensive studies that showed how harmful radiation was to babies, children, women, and basically to our environment. But part of what they really discovered was that the worst of the contamination from nuclear pollution shows up 4 to 5 generations later because it mutates our DNA. That's like, I mean, we immediately get diabetes. We immediately get schizophrenia. Within 10 to 20 years, you see cancers and leukemias. But it's... I am like at a dumbfounded place how our government could have understood the harm, and yet they know that St. Louis is a floodplain. They allowed it to stay there for a long time. It goes against everything that I would think that we stood for as Americans, to be honest. I'm dumbfounded. I'm 60, so I still have that heart in my soul that believes that America was really a country built for the greater good of our world, you know, that we have hold ourselves to a higher standard. And this is just dumbfounding that every elected official, every military person that even touches it, every EPA official, every DOA, every single official who works for the government and for the newspapers look at this and zip their lips and say nothing for a paycheck. I can't even begin to tell you how betrayed. I can't imagine how the people of St. Louis feel. I mean, honestly, the betrayal must be so deep in your city. And yet I admire the people of St. Louis because I've often asked them, why don't you guys move? Like, I think major portions of it need to, so does Dr. Helen Caldicott. She thinks it needs to be evacuated immediately. There should not even be a question. Within 5 miles, those people need to be gone. But people in St. Louis want to fight it out. They want to stick it out. They want to make the government answer for this. And that's admirable. But, you know, it's beyond conscience. And let me ask you, Ron, when you drove home after that event of the first secret city event, and you drove home with that gentleman who explained to you that they knew, it has any, you know, we have these organizations in St. Louis, the first, the Westlake Landfill Facebook page, we have the Coldwater Creek, are any of those people organizing to really get people out and on this topic and in a massive organized fashion? You said you understand how to organize. Have they reached out to you to help to get some information on how to organize and make it a... I think we need thousands and thousands of people, frankly, sitting on the steps of Governor Jay Nixon's office. Like, just go to the Capitol and bring your tents and say, we're not leaving until you fix this. I mean, how do you, all of you, feel in St. Louis about all of this?
Well, you know, one thing that first person does, I don't care what it is, your first inclination is denial. Mm-hmm. That all this can't be. This shouldn't be. Why is this? Then somebody says, well, it's not that bad. And it's not this that bad. And you don't know to circulate this information with that information. And I'll be real honest with you. Until I met this fella, I met him at church, that I understand what the problem was. And I said, you know, I thought my wife died of cancer some other reason. I told that fellow. I said, you know, I told my son, I think I know why your mother died. That Fontaine Creek went through her backyard.
Yes.
The next place we moved was up in Hazelwood, and that went into Coldwater Creek, and it was open. Okay? Now, then I moved up to North County, way out on the river, and then when my wife died, I moved here to St. Charles because my parents are over here. But my first thing, well, would the government do this to anybody? Now, I've had trouble, and one thing a person's got to understand about the government, okay? They never get fired. They never get laid off. They make more money. They have more sick days. They have more vacation days and better medical. And then you, who they're supposed to serve, comes up, and that's 24% of the people work for some form of the government or take money. So why not raise my taxes? I'm going to get a pay raise. I'm going to get more sick days. I'm going to get this. I'm going to get that. Well, that's 24% of the thing. You'd be a fool if you work for the government not to vote to raise my taxes, because it's all coming your way.
Look, it's not just the raising the taxes. This is what I can't understand about the people working for the government. People working in your own community, living in your own community, being exposed to nuclear radiation, nuclear pollution, are working for the very corporations and for the government that are in denial. I mean, these companies, Mallinckrodt, still employs people that are living in Coldwater Creek, that are living near Westlake. So people there, the part of the reason that this is what I've been able to ascertain is that a lot of the reason people don't want to come on my radio show is because their spouses, that they work or they do themselves work for these corporations where they are required to not talk about it. They're not allowed to talk about it. If you work for the government, you work for the I've shared this story before. I talked to a lady who had retired from the Department of Washington Wildlife Environment. She worked for them for 20 years. And I said, well, what do you think about Hanford and Columbia Generating Station being so close? Because in the Northwest, we're attempting to close down the Columbia Generating Station. It's only 10 miles away from Hanford, which in itself presents a problem. She said, look, we know in Hanford. We know. We knew exactly. She goes, I personally have seen two-headed deers. I've seen two-headed snakes. We know it's causing trouble. But she goes, this is an example. I had a colleague of mine who went to our supervisor and said, shouldn't we be warning people about these things that we're starting to see more often? The next day he was fired. The next day he wasn't even put on probation or told to keep quiet. He was just terminated the next day. So people are being coerced into being quiet. I personally think that people need to have more courage than that and say, you know what, we understand we're working for the corporations that want us to. I mean, until we admit that we have a problem, I don't believe that we actually need the people who are the scientists who are actually creating the lies to tell us that there's no big deal. We need their brains to be able to figure out the problem. So we need these corporations to admit there's a problem. And I don't know, Ron. This is why I am relentless in contacting people in St. Louis, because I think the only way we're going to meet out a solution is if we demand it. So have you been in touch with Governor Jay Nixon's office?
No.
You have not. What do you think about him not taking action on those?
Let me tell you what, I've been in contact with a couple people running, and I think they need to make Coldwater Creek an issue. He's done. He's gone. He has a Democratic Senate and a House that are Republicans, and I told a couple of them they keep going over the same issues, and we've got all kind of problems. I mean, it's the same. I'm pro-life, but it's the same pro-life things. They can't get them passed. If they do get them passed, the judges won't allow it. At some point, it'll get overturned. So what are you doing that for? when you know you have problems you think you can do something about. And if they can't do anything about it, and they won't do anything about it, in this country, we do have an option to diselect people. To say, hey, this enough is enough. And one of the things that I will say right now is Nixon said something. He tried to cover it up, and it didn't work. Well, we're seeing that happen in this present election right now. Well, you know what? If you came out and said, look, I made a mistake. I didn't know. Ask my forgiveness, and I'll try to help you the best I can. That's the best they can do. But admit the problem. Say you have a problem. Do what you can do to do it. Now, one of the things, we give more money to, let's say, Pakistan. Well, Obama was there. The new guy was there. We flew in and shot him. And they say we violated their space. Well, wait a second. We're giving money over there. We got people here doing what? We got veterans over here doing what when they went over there? It's almost obscene.
The whole thing is obscene.
It's obscene.
The whole
thing.
That
they're spending money there. I give my money. They take it as pay, and they give it away to someplace and let American people suffer when they know what's going on. I think it's outrageous.
I couldn't agree with you more. I could not. We give how much? We give billions of dollars a year to Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, Qatar, Israel, Japan. We pay for more than a third of the Japanese military budget. I mean, it is an outrage that we are allowing our people. We have suffered. Our infrastructure has suffered so that we can prop up the war profiteers. It really is about war profiteering. And this is, in fact, I think the reason why with this, the Coldwater Creek, that pile of uranium waste, it really was about war profiteering. They have sold it. They're making billions of dollars. To remediate the waste, we have to pay them billions of dollars. I mean, it's all about profiteering. It has nothing to do with human health or the planet's health or the environment. All they want to do, it's really, this is how I feel. I feel like we are just assets on their balance sheet. I say that in my intro, but I really, it's evident that they don't care whether, look at your wife dead at 32. And John Goffman's work that he wrote, Poison Power, in his book, it's called Danger to Health Through Low-Level Radiation. And you can get them you can go to Amazon and buy it. It's a big, fat kind of scientific book that he wrote to try to warn people. He was trying to stop nuclear power plants from being built because he said that was going to be a catastrophic event for our country. And he made every effort he could to expose the scientific evidence that he was part of the Manhattan Project. He helped discover the nuclear fissional process. And all of when all of the scientists involved in that project say, wait a minute, we need to stop, they ought to have been listened to, because that's, in fact, what St. Louis is dealing with now, is that nobody listened. And, in fact, all they've done is just not even just kick the can down the road. They've ignored it. And if they had actually buried the waste, it might not be a problem. But what they've done is just neglect it so grotesquely. And it's not just the nuclear waste. This is the untold story also, I think, in St. Louis. The nuclear waste exacerbates what's going on. But the fuse wrap fire happened because they didn't even follow their own best practices events. These major corporations have fuse wrap. So it's a whole can of worms that, as a people, and I'm not talking about political events, but as a people, it's our responsibility to face it. When you said the first thing that people want to do is deny it, boy, is that nothing could be far. That is so absolutely the truth. That is solid truth. That's their eyes get glazed over when you just mention radiation. Like, they don't want to talk about it. They don't want to think about it. It's amazing. So,
well, you know what? I was in the insurance business for a long time. So was my dad and brother. And when I was in the service, sent me down to see who was stealing stuff. I said, I can't find out who's stealing anything. You know, they know I'm here. They know I don't belong here. But let me just tell you something, I told the colonel. Why give them something to steal? Oh, well, it's avoidance. And you know, if I can't do nothing, let's avoid the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you avoid certain things because they're this way. Now, there's one thing we really can't do is this is done. But I had some questions. I says, why do you let me dig up there if you know this was there?
Right.
I take a backhoe, I dig, I'm digging deeper, you're getting pollution. Huh? They're worried about gas mains blowing up. They ain't worried about that. This last time, after Ferguson, a whole bunch of this North County property went down in value. Well, some of they already own. Some of them are 60 and 70-year-old houses. My opinion on where my wife grew up on Fontaine Creek, tear it down if you owe it.
Right.
Tear it down. You already owe it. Why would you take a mortgage on it? Why would you put somebody there? Why would you do that? Why would you not notify me that there could be radiation there? Everybody that digs up there that takes a permit ought to understand that that's there. They warn you about the floodplain. Why don't they warn you about it could be polluted? Because they know.
Right.
They know.
Are they allowing people to dig up there
now? But if you know, shows you don't care.
Right.
See, when you know something, I tell you don't drink and drive because it's bad. I tell you don't ride a motorcycle because I delivered death checks to two of my friends that were riding. I'll tell you don't ride a motorcycle. I tell my kids don't do that. You know, it's not a wise decision. Okay, people get hurt, they get killed. Okay, it's not a wise decision, but you know, if they know these things, and they know they do, why would you let somebody dig up there? Take a backhoe and dig into there.
Are they still digging up there? Are they still giving permits to dig and build up there? Business as usual?
I bet I could get a permit up there.
So it's just business as usual. We're not telling anybody.
No more. Wow. You're not going to build on the creek. But you're not going to build on the creek because there's no places. Oh, you know what I told this guy? You know, when the reason I told him, I told you about them storm sewers. I walked this creek. And the storm sewers are high because it's level. Well, when the sewers are like that, it floods and the water stays in there. And these storm water sewers, it'd be my opinion, I'd sure check it out. I'd run that stuff because there's some reason as it goes up into North County, it spreads out. Well, you know, sewers go downhill, water goes downhill. And when it gets going too fast, it makes a turn. It eats the bank out. When it lows down, it right there on Palm Street, it settles. So if you know it's settled there, why wouldn't you see where it's settling other places? Amazing.
The story of St. Louis
Let me tell you two things that are amazing, okay?
Okay.
Well, as I watch that film. Not amazing they had to do a bomb. Amazing the people did the bomb, they didn't, when they started getting sick, didn't care, take care of it. It's amazing that they took some of that, added it with dirt, and put it someplace else inside a metropolitan area. We have Weldon Springs, and in that film it says the priest does that. My son, they renumbered that and put a big stack of rocks on top of there. Well, right next to there is a high school. And people say there's more people get cancer there. Okay. Below there's the water that goes to the city of St. Charles. Well, if you knew that, wouldn't you tell don't put a high school there? And I mean, the stack of rocks is here. You cross the street, a lake in Weldon Springs, Weldon. And here's this high school that they're adding on. Every time I go by there, you know what? You know, I pray for the people because they don't know. If I went in there and I told them what we know, what we have here, you'd have a disturbance. I mean, I would hope you would.
We need a disturbance.
I don't understand why they're still digging up there.
Wow. Wow.
Why don't you tear these buildings down?
Wow.
You know what? If they don't have anything. They've repossessed them. The houses went for next to nothing. If you heard what some of them were going for after Ferguson, it was unbelievable. Well, they got a bunch of them back. Because people say, you know, for that reason. But, well, if you're on these spots, and some of the houses are 60 years old or more. I bet this house is 70 years old that my wife grew in. It's a brick house. It backs up to Fontaine Creek. Why, if you owned that, would you let that go out? Now, one question I asked my nephew and the doctor here where I'm at, she says, well, that pancreatic cancer, which is unheard of, one in a million. They got 46 up here that they know about, probably way more. I said, why don't you test somebody for that? Oh, that's too expensive for a CAT scan. Well, when you look at what wow. the retail price or what the government pays, well, if they give a mammogram, why can't they give a CAT scan for free?
Yeah.
If they know you were up there, and if you had the doctors, okay, wouldn't you have all of them in and said, these might be the symptoms of this? You know, if they have this, you might have pancreatic cancer because it's so rare. Isn't that amazing?
Wow.
That somebody that's head of the health department don't say, hey, all the doctors, you come to this thing here today, or the state that licenses them says that you need to know this if you're practicing medicine up here, that we are licensing you to be a doctor to save people, and you don't know, or you don't understand, or you haven't been told, or you read the Post-Dispatch and getting your information there. Well, they know, but there's ways you can help. You quit building, you buy back the properties when you can, okay? You let the doctors know, you quit digging, you know, and nothing's a one-time thing, but there's, if you take a little bit here and a little bit there and a little bit there, it's going to get some better. But if you do nothing, I can guarantee you it's not going to get better. So I asked this scientist, how long does some of that stuff last? He says, well, we think in 1,500 years, it could be half strength. Well, wait a second. It ain't going away. It ain't going to do that. You know, there's things you can do to remediate the problem. If you have a problem, you can take care of the person you caused the problem for that didn't know it, you know, and you say, like in everything you say, I'm sorry I didn't know, but here's what I'm going to do. Okay, Nixon denied it. You saw where he's got. Denial of the problem is not the solution. The solution is to say, we got a problem. We understand it. We probably made some mistakes. We know we made some mistakes. Here's where we're going to go with a positive program. You think that happens? No.
Do you know what Dr. John Goffman, I talk about the 90% rule. I call it the 90% rule. He did not. His studies in the book, two books that I read, he basically said when he studied the victims of Hiroshima after World War II, when he discovered that the government had destroyed all their documentation on the children and women, the two sets of people he knew that were most harmed, our government destroyed all their documentation and in fact refused to study them. So he set out on a 20-year study on his own. At the end of that 20-year study, he said there was two patterns that was very, very clear. The nuclear industry, the United States government, the UN, the IAEA, they all, it's across the board, it's worldwide. They deny that radiation causes harm. They underreport the negative effects by 90%. And if anything else can cause the affected disease or anything like that, nuclear is taken off the table immediately. They do not discuss it. So, yes, we are living in a world full of denial, and that's what's causing the harm. And this is why I am relentless on this program. We must discuss it. We must force them to admit it causes harm, because only then can we find solutions. We can't keep kicking it under the rug and pretending that it's not killing people, because as we see in St. Louis, your wife died at 32, and your son God knows his children or your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, might have negative effects from radiation that your wife was exposed to while she was pregnant. We don't know.
Well, here's some of the problem I think we have. I think you got to go on a positive thing because they made the mistake.
That's right.
And if you make a mistake, you have to admit you made it.
Right.
They haven't done that.
That's right.
And then when you make the mistake, you apologize and you try to do the best you can do with what you have left.
That's right.
And that is quit digging. That is to buy back homes. That is to don't give no permits. That's to make sure the doctors in this area are educated. That's to give CAT scans to people for appendix cancer. That's the things you can do. They're all positive.
Mm-hmm.
But you can't, what's negative is we don't have a problem. I'm getting paid a whole lot of money to actually falsify the facts. Mm-hmm. In most places, they would fire you. You know, it's because some of it is outright lies. And if you've got somebody you can pay that's lying for you, and you're paying them with more sick days, vacation days, pension plans, and they can't get fired, well, they're not worried about getting fired. So it's really, it's just obscene.
It's the emperor has no
clothes. We have here, here's one thing we have. We hope that the elections are fair. We hope. I can go into that later. But we hope the elections are fair and we can vote these people out. Now, one thing that was amazing to me is this petroleum thing. We're fighting these people, giving them money over there. We're in these places that we need their oil. Well, you know what? As soon as we started drilling, and the Democrats, well, that won't help. Well, if you took basic economics, if you got more, the price goes down. I mean, it's almost that, you know, cars, the price goes down, whatever it is, it's by price. Well, we started drilling, and all of a sudden we had this oil. Guess what? The prices came down. Now, somebody says that don't work, and it works. Well, some of this oil, and I know fracturing isn't the answer all the places, but it's better than nuclear. You have to have some way to get around. You have to have power. We have gas all over this country that would power these plants that's here in this country that's there, and gas repeats itself. Gas comes back. That's how come mines, coal mines blow up. There's gas in there. It's methane gas, and methane gas comes off things. Next to me, I had a place out here, and he was taking in all kind of lumber, and it was, woods, and he was grinding it up. If it ever turned it, it caught on fire.
That's right. Well, we do have the methane leaks. That's what's causing the global warming. But, you know, look, we have about a minute left. And I wanted to thank you, Ron, for joining us with us and having this full conversation. You've certainly informed us of quite a bit of information here. I really appreciate your input. I hope you'll come back. I really enjoy talking with you. I hope you'll join us again.
Well, I'd like to. I appreciate this. Look, it's one of my only ways to get the information out.
Well, look, thank you for joining us.
Only way.
Well,
but I'm telling
you. Thank you for joining us. I really appreciate it.
Okay, bye.